Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. In your bulletin, there is a list of calendar and announcements, all sorts of ways in which we are church together. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you, or there will be an elder standing at the communion table following worship this morning. And during the offering, don't forget to sign the hospitality registers, which are located in your pews, so that we can greet one another by name. A few announcements this morning. It is great to be back with you after my 8 days away in the mountains of North Carolina. I very much appreciate the time that you all and the Board of Pensions spends in investing in your pastors. It was a week-long retreat, and indeed it was that for me. So thank you very much. And Carol Ann has an announcement.
Good morning. This morning, the senior high church school and senior high youth group will leave at around 10:15 to go worship at Mount Olivet Baptist Church. It's in the city, and we will experience an African-American style of worship. And so I'm just telling you that when we leave, that you'll be gracious and let us climb over you and understand when I disappear and all those good things. Thanks.
Good morning, everyone. Just wanted to remind you that in your bulletin today, you'll have a nice bright-colored sign-up sheet for the spaghetti dinner. This is Craig McKeel, and Craig will be heading up the kitchen operations portion of the dinner. Wanted you to put the face with the name. So you can sign up in the put that in the offering plate, or there's sign-ups on the wall as well. We've got a couple different time slots and some different activities than we've had before, so be sure to check it out because it's going to be different than a regular dinner, so we'll try the spaghetti dinner and see how that works. So thank you for your participation.
All right, I am looking forward to another night. I don't have to cook at home. Spaghetti sounds good. And also, I know that you'll see in your newsletter and sign-ups are being posted. I spent all day yesterday cleaning out my basement. Yard sale is a-coming. Great things going on. Are there any other announcements this morning? Friends, and let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our whole entire selves to worship God.
Thank you.
please stand, if able, for the call to worship. The word of God to a formless void. The word of God to weary pilgrims and prophets.
Get up, rise up.
The word of God to disciples everywhere.
Get up, rise up.
For now is the time to worship. Now is the time to celebrate the risen Christ.
Let's read together the prayer of confession as recorded in your bulletin. In this Easter season of rejoicing, we confess how quickly the good news wears off, and we want to sit down and do nothing. Shepherding God, over and over again, you call us to be your disciples, and our apathy overwhelms your urgency. Your mission is moving. Open us in faithful ways of moving toward the resurrection power of your sins. Let us pray silently. Whether we are tired or distracted, lost or confused, wandering or waiting, God is steadfast to us. We are forgiven this day and always. Thanks be to God for new life in Christ.
I'm going to sit over here. Good morning. I brought one of my most favorite things to share with you today. It's a basket. Kind of basket it is? Oh. It's Eastertide, but... a foreign object. Sewing basket. Sewing basket. And it's got lots of really interesting things in it. Look, it's got tape measure, buttons. Can you see inside? Thread, all kinds of goodies. That's exactly right. That's what you use to make things. Well, the reason this is one of my favorite things is because it belonged to a very, very old friend of mine, a very kind friend of mine. She lived in Syracuse, and when she died, her family gave me her beloved sewing basket. So I don't really use it all that much, but I sure do enjoy seeing it because it reminds me of her. She had two names. Some people called her Ruth, other people called her Mimi. I called her Mimi. And she was a wonderful seamstress. Do you know what a seamstress is? What's a seamstress? That's exactly right. A person who sews. She made men's suits and dresses and shirts, doll clothes. She made all kinds of things. And lots of times I would visit her in Syracuse, and I'd walk in, and maybe I had a button that looked like it was about to fall off. And she'd say, "Carol Ann, sit down. I'm going to sew that button on for you." So she was very, very helpful, and she was always doing such nice. I brought the sewing basket today because it reminded me of our Bible story for today. It's about a woman who had two names also, Dorcas and Tabitha, and she did all kinds of nice things for people, very good things. But one day she got very, 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 very sick. And her friends were so sad because she too was a seamstress, and she had made their clothes and made lots of good things for people all over the village. And her friends decided to call Peter, and maybe Peter could help. Jesus' disciple Peter. So she was so sick, and they sent out for Peter to try to help her. And Peter came running. And by that time, unfortunately, though, Dorcas had died. But Peter prayed for Dorcas. And you know what happened? Came back to life. And she came back, and she was able to sew and do more nice things for people. And sometimes I think that when we do nice things for people, even when we're not around, suppose we're a long ways away, like maybe she's in Syracuse and I'm in Rochester, or my friend now who's dead and in heaven with Jesus, she still stays alive for me. She stays alive in my heart. And I think about her often because she was such a kind, gentle person and showed me so much hospitality and gentleness. So let's have a prayer. Thank you, God, for people who teach us how to love each other. Help us to love each other just like Jesus wanted. Amen. All right.
The first reading today is from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long.
Thank you.
Our second reading from the scripture this morning comes from the book of Acts. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, who heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. Well, I made it to the tender age of 16 before my first experience with death. At that time, I considered myself to be very lucky to have escaped all the complicated emotions that accompany grief. And when I was confronted with someone I loved dying, it happens as it often does with more than one person in a very short period of time. First, after a long struggle with cancer, it was my grandfather. And then within a month, it was a very close friend, an advisor to our church youth group at the time. His name was Nathan, and he was killed in a motorcycle accident. I don't remember much about Nathan's funeral. It was all such a blur, but what I do remember is a few days after Nathan died, a few of us from the youth group went out to the intersection where Nathan had been killed. We parked on the side of the paved country road outside of town where the grass grew tall out from the ditches, and we stood in that place where the car struck him, failing to see over the grass the oncoming motorcycle. In scanning the pavement, we saw the tire marks and the splinters of red fiberglass that was part of his bike. Larger pieces lay off to the side of the road, and in the silence of our grief, we each grabbed a piece of Nathan's beloved motorcycle and held on to them tightly. He always had told us that he loved that bike almost as much as he loved us. And tears rolled down our face as we clutched those broken pieces of the bike in our hands with our arms around each other, praying that we would just get through this. And we prayed out loud, "God, send us a sign. Send us something that we know that Nathan's okay and that we'll be okay." And we stood there for some time. And suddenly two mourning doves flew together, sat on the power lines right above our heads. And they began cooing softly to one another, and we collectively held our breath. We joined hands, and we could just feel the hope rising inside of us. We hung on so tightly to the hope that through this mystery of death, that though it was just too big for us to really understand, that God was big enough to hold this mystery and us in healing and wholeness. As many of us know, resurrection signs are unpredictable at best. They may happen within moments or weeks or months, sometimes even years after someone we love has died. But as people of the resurrection, we hold on to these signs of hope that God's love indeed does transcend birth and life and death. And we pray fervently for these moments for God to reveal God's very self to us and to help us get onto our own path of healing and wholeness in the face of such unbearable loss. Resurrection signs can come like two birds above our heads, as it did for me. It may come in the sign of the breaking of bread, as it did for the disciples who followed Jesus. Resurrection signs may come through an unexplained presence or fragrance or vision or event that we just can't seem to explain, but we know that they were meant for us. For the community of widows gathered in this upper room, they called for a resurrection sign through the words and actions of another person. In this case, a man named Peter. Unlike myself, Peter was no stranger to death at that time and the powerful signs of resurrection in this world when this group of widows send for him. So Peter arrives in Joppa following the death of a disciple named Dorcas or Tabitha. It is rare to find the feminine form of the word disciple in the gospel. So we know that this emphasizes for us the importance of Tabitha's good works and acts of charity in the community. So when Peter enters the room where the grieving women have carefully bathed and laid out the body of their matriarch and friend, Peter is literally surrounded by their grief. They stand next to him, crying and clutching the garments that Tabitha lovingly made for them. And they all look to Peter with that expectant hope that he could do something equally tangible to comfort them with signs of God's hope and healing. I kind of feel bad for Peter, who's really feeling the weight and pressure of this situation. After all, this is Peter, the disciple who got all wet when he tried to walk on water following Jesus, who fell asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane while he was supposed to be praying for Jesus. The disciple who carried on pretending not to know Jesus following his arrest. But Peter has gained some confidence in experiencing the ultimate sign of the resurrection on Easter with the empty tomb. But did he have the power or the ability to be a resurrection sign for someone else? Did Peter, in his own anguish and grief and uncertainty of what he was supposed to be doing, beg, as many of us do, for someone we love who has died? Does he grab her hand and bow his head and say, "Get up, Tabitha. Just get up"? Did Peter whisper or choke those words out through his own tears? However he said them, can you even begin to imagine the look on his face when her eyes opened? Speechlessly, there are no words to describe his response. He simply extends his hand, helps her up, and the community is reunited in such a way that however they told and retold this story with the wider community in Joppa and Jerusalem, that they shared the hope with all those who would come to believe that God transcends all mysteries of birth and life and death and everything we have ever thought about those. And how our world today longs for these resurrection signs. Our community of faith here at Gates Presbyterian Church has faced an unprecedented amount of loss in a very short time period this year. 7 members of this congregation have died in 4 months, which is about what we normally lose in a whole year. And death has surrounded us in the headlines, especially this week. And it might be a closer reality for you if you have friends in Boston or Texas. But we also know that that's not the only kind of death there is. As we've watched the media responses to the events in Boston and hearing the voices of those who live in this country, I am reminded that there are people all over the place whose smaller daily deaths cry out for some kind of life, any sign of hope or strength or meaning. Because when we are gripped by fear or grief or loss, we want answers, right? Sometimes we even want someone to blame. And so we decide in our own heads, individually or collectively, who didn't do their job right, who's inadequate, undeserving, who's ignorant, who's too foreign, who's the wrong race, the wrong sex, the wrong beliefs, the wrong language, the wrong country of origin, the wrong religion, the list goes on. We decide for ourselves and as communities, and then we start sharing that with one another through messages in the media, quick post on Facebook, or a side comment, joke, and we begin to deny the resurrection hope God means for our lives and the lives of creation. In the midst of pain and loss, death and suffering of this world, I believe God is calling us, each of us, as individuals and as the church, to be the resurrection signs for others as Peter is for Tabitha and that community. You've heard the saying that you may be the only Bible that someone ever reads. And it's an absolute certainty that since the resurrection of Jesus, the only body of Christ on earth, the only hands, feet, and voices and hearts are the ones that God has given to us. We are now, the church is now, the body of Christ. But when it comes time to kneel down with those who have lost and look those 1,000 daily deaths in the eye and say, "Not today," our doubts often become louder. Our fears are awakened. What if I try to spread the light of what I know and the darkness turns out to be deeper, more powerful than I can handle? Compassion and forgiveness, generosity, love, these are not easy things. They can challenge our assumptions and threaten our boundaries, and they're going to get our hands dirty. They can also bring out something in us that rational, practical people aren't always comfortable dealing with, namely the disconcerting realization that within us is the power of Christ. There's a paragraph that has been wrongly attributed to Nelson Mandela. It was actually said by Marianne Williamson. She said, "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be? Brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually," she says, "who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us. It's in all of us. And so we let our light shine. We unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. The good news of the Easter season is Christ's light and love and hope and resurrection still shines in each of us. Here. Now. Easter is the promise. Not only that death does not have the last word, but also that God will not be defeated in evil and death, and neither will those who do God's work in God's name. Friends, we are called upon to be like Peter, kneeling beside all those who long for a resurrection sign. We are called to be the body of Christ in the world. We are called to be part of God's healing and hope, now and always. Alleluia. Amen. At this time, we are invited to lift our hopes, our joys, our fears, and our concerns in prayer to God and with the community gathered here.
Andrea Unson. I've got three prayers. First, I just want to ask for continued prayers for Spence Board teacher Marty Pavone, his family, and all of the students that are dealing with his sudden death. Then my aunt, Shirley, is in the hospital right now. She had to have part of her foot removed. She has diabetes, and during that time, she had a heart attack. So prayers for her. And prayers for my cousin Michael Nolan, who just had heart surgery, and he will be home for a month trying to recuperate. So prayers for all of those people. Thank you.
Here are prayers.
Gordon Chapman. Two things. First of all, I appreciate all the gentlemen that came out early this morning for breakfast at 8 o'clock, 12 of us, and we had a good gathering. I have two brothers and who married sisters. They are down in North Carolina today because my brother Ralph's wife was diagnosed with cancer back in August. She was supposed to die in 30 days. She's still alive. But there is transition going on right now, and they need our prayers.
Lord, hear our prayers. I know a lot of folks have brought prayers and asked that they be voiced aloud this morning. Carol Ann, who is with the Senior High Sunday School, asked for prayer of concern for her niece, who is facing some difficult health right now and is in the hospital. And Carol Ann also asked of prayers of joy and celebration with her daughter, Erica, and her new fiancé, Jonathan, who were engaged this week. So definitely prayers for Carol Ann and for Erica and Jonathan and their families. Prayers for Hannah Walker, who is undergoing tests at Rochester General Hospital this week. Prayers for the family of Norma Remington, who died this week. Prayers for Carol. And I know our youth have also asked prayers for the entire Balsley family in Norma's passing. And for your information, the calling hours are on Thursday at Grace Funeral Home from 4 to 7. And the service will be here in the sanctuary on Sunday, a week from today, at 2 o'clock. And prayers from our children this morning in Sunday school. They bring to you all, the community, prayers for testing this week as they undergo state tests. Prayers for a friend's father who died unexpectedly. Prayers of joy for a soccer team that won a championship. Prayers for babies who are coming soon. Prayers of joy for triathlons and medal winnings. And prayers of joy for a cousin who's getting married this summer. Let us continue to lift our hearts in prayer. Here we are again, God, at the crossroads of sorrow and anger, fear and hope, death and resurrection. It is never more difficult to follow a crucified God than when the crosses of our world stand before us. Holy One, what are we, the people of the resurrection, to say in the face of ongoing violence, suffering, and death of this world? This week alone, we've followed in the news the horror of innocent lives lost in Boston and Texas. We thank you for those who demonstrate great courage as first responders, medical personnel, disaster assistants, and individuals extending kindness. We pray for the lives lost, the family and friends who mourn, and communities gripped by this grief.
We also ask for your patience with us when our hearts are inclined toward ignorance and fear, directed at those we push away by naming up the other. Consumed by what is right in front of us, may we not forget our brothers and sisters across this, your creation, who are surrounded by sorrow. For the rural region of China, where an earthquake claimed the lives of many, for the victims of the bombings in Iraq and the war that wages in Syria. We also lift in prayer those who are closer to home, for the family and friends of Norma Remington. May her sweet smiles and playful spirit live on in us. God, we also pray for this church family. We are called together by the ties of worship and mission, friendship, compassion, and care. Continue to claim us at the font to be your people, and to call us to this table to feast on your promises of grace. When we gather as the church in Joppa did to mourn the losses of this world and those of this community, and when we don't feel that power of Peter, remind us that you call us to be your hands and body in this world, giving us all that we need to reveal your resurrection signs to one another. God, we offer these prayers and the many in each of our hearts as we say the words your Son taught us to say, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Friends, God has blessed us indeed with more blessings than we know what to do with. Let us offer back to God a portion of those with our lives and our offerings.
God, you are our Lord. You have given your life. You are our resurrection God. We offer our gifts of money, but also our gifts of service, of thoughtfulness, of caring for each other. Expand those like the loaves and the fishes to spread and proclaim that you are the resurrection Lord. Amen.
We go out into this world as the hands and the feet of Christ, revealing those signs of hope and resurrection with all whom we meet. And we will gather again, together in worship, celebrating not only God's presence next week, but the joy of a Fusion Sunday. And yes, friends, it's that time. Get the kilts out. We'll be Kirk and the Tartan next week, and it will be a joyous time as a family of faith. So let us go. With the love of God surrounding us, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the courage of the Holy Spirit to be God's resurrection people. Amen.
two of us. I can have.